Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mark Grace.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sam Pete, New York Sports Talk Podcast, episode 3.08, coming to you live on March the 1st, 2012. I am Steve Sanpietro, one of your hosts for the podcast. Be joined in a second by my co-host, Mr. Brian Calneva, Calpino Caliente, coming in a minute, coming to you live from Comac, fresh off father-daughter sports night at Burr Junior High School. The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Brian Calvi. Hey, Bri.
Hey, Steve.
Hello there.
Welcome.
Welcome to episode 308. No title for it yet. We don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, it's one of those.
It's one of those. Anything goes.
Wow.
All bets are off. We've made it to March. We were just talking a couple weeks ago how we were in the dead zone with Christopher Walken. And we were just you know what I just found out, Cal? I had been telling you. I told you a couple weeks ago that Kevin Pollak does that really good chat podcast. Now, I've been a big fan of Kevin Pollak's work for years and years and years, and he does this great chat podcast weekly on Sundays. It's video and audio podcast. He had Ed O'Neill on about a month and a half ago, and who was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And all Walken impressions are now finished.
After Pollak?
That's it. He is so good, Cal. He has another podcast that he does called Talkin' Walken.
And he does it just as Christopher Walken?
He does an entire 45 minutes as Christopher Walken.
You know who probably hates that is Jay Moore.
Yes, taking the mantle from – he's so good and conversational with him, and he can be funny with him. So I'm not even going to do a dead zone walking thing. I'm not – I made the
you
reference.
Can't.
It's the sports dead zone, Brian.
You said you weren't going to do it, though.
I can't help myself. There's no reason not to try it.
Always.
I'm a hoofer at heart. Pollak goes back. He goes back to that all the time. I'm a song and dance man at heart. But anyway,
it really is one of the more fun impressions to do.
It's
whether you're good at it or not.
Everybody has one. I've been doing mine since the SNL sketch with Kevin Spacey playing Christopher Walken as Han Solo.
Yes.
In the auditions on Saturday Night Live, the lost auditions.
Uh-huh.
That's where I did my first Walken, and it was me doing Spacey doing Walken doing Han Solo, and
right.
it went a little something like this.
Here we go.
You've never heard of the Millennium Falcon, the ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. She's fast enough for you, old man. Wait, that sucked. Can I do it again? It's not bad. Mine's solid, but it's not spectacular.
It's not
anyway,
bad. Not bad at all.
We were in the dead zone. We were in the sports dead zone, that dreaded time between the end of football after the Super Bowl New York Giants, Super Bowl victorious New York Giants winning that game. By the way, can't be reminded of enough, by the way, every day.
No. Every time you turn around, there's another giant signing an autograph.
Every day.
On doing an interview, you know, because on February 28th, that's what you want to hear is from the Giants.
Yeah. But they, you have to give them their due. They're Super Bowl champions again for the second time in 4 years. So, but anyway.
Congratulations.
Underrated line from Bachelor Party, right, by the way.
I know.
This is my brother Rick. He's getting married. She's giving the guy a like a proctology exam.
Yeah.
And he turns around, old man. Congratulations. So we're out of that now. We hit March 1st. Baseball is heating up. There's a ton to talk about with the Mets and the Yankees in spring training. You didn't think there would be. They're like a day into camp. And yet this is the age we live in, Cal. First of all, the situation with the Mets is so interesting, but stories abound.
Well, here in New York, for the last few years, we've always talked about it. You know, baseball is a 12-month sport now. We talk about it year-round.
Yeah, and with blogs and with Twitter and with the advent of social media and using that more to cover your to follow your teams, it's completely year round.
Right.
I mean, how often do you during spring training do you go on Mets blog?
A couple of times a day.
Right. Got to be four or five times a day. Just to
I would
see
say.
What's going on. I think.
I check it out. I check it out every single day, even in the off season.
No, we do regardless in the offseason.
You know?
But once you're in Port St. Lucie, but look who's down there, Cal.
Right.
You have three or four Met bloggers down there.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in Port St. Lucie covering the Mets. You have the same thing for the Yankees. Very similar coverage for the Yankees. It's just covered in a different way. So I do want to, you know, Fred Wilpon gave his little speech, you know, his little impromptu press conference. I do want to talk about that with you because I've been chomping at the bit.
You wrote a little something about that too, didn't you?
I did. I wrote a little something on the website on www.rtusports.com. Check it out. I also want to talk about – we can do this later in the show, Bri. But the sports guy, Bill Simmons, had President Obama on his podcast.
I know.
President – talk about a get. He had President Obama on his podcast.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot on this show about social media, about how sports are now covered, about it's an entirely different age, and some dinosaurs in the sports talk realm do not accept this.
Right.
And what better example of how far podcasting has come, especially mm-hmm. sports podcasting, when the biggest sports podcast that there is gets the sitting president for 25 minutes to talk about basketball.
Did you listen to it?
I did.
How was it? I didn't listen to it. How was
it? It's excellent.
It was good?
Yes. And you and I have been critical as fans of Bill Simmons in the past. I tried to put myself in his spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to get all sycophanty or anything for Bill Simmons. I've had my disagreements with how he covers things. I've had my disagreements with how he runs his podcast. But overall, I think he is changing the face of sports talk in certain ways, creating the Grantland Network and the podcast on Grantland. And I tried to put myself in that spot, Cal. Mm-hmm. He's interviewing the President of the United States in the White House.
Like he was professional about it.
He was professional and yet casual.
Okay.
You know, he made a joke about the president actually teased him about Tom Thibodeau coming over from the Celtics.
Uh huh.
He said to him, "I know you're a big Celtics fan, so let me just say thanks for Thibodeau. Appreciate it." And Simmons like, "Ouch, that hurts." You know, like he was himself.
Yeah.
He had the proper amount of Cal. He did a fantastic job. He really did. But what a testament to how far sports podcasts have come.
Oh, that's huge.
Did you see what I tweeted about Francesa?
I don't think I did. I had a very busy night, so I didn't really get
We're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. But
no, I finished listening to the podcast, and I recalled a few years ago that Mike Francesa, our good friend over at WFAN New York Sports, Mike's on, the Pope of New York Sports, had gotten into it with Bill Simmons a few years ago when Bill Simmons first started the podcast and said, you know, who is he to criticize me? What the heck is a podcast? Podcast is silly. How many listeners does he have?
Right. Well, and he also, I mean, he's gotten into it with Bill Simmons. He got into it with Matthew Cerrone of Mets Blog.
Matthew Cerrone about Mets Blog, right.
You know, I mean, you couldn't be more out of touch with the way sports media is heading right now.
That's right.
If you're taking on those two guys.
That's right.
Locally and nationally. Those are two examples.
Yep. And so I tweeted, in case you're scoring at home, that's sitting presidents interviewed by Bill Simmons, 1, by Mike Francesa, 0. Or by Mike Francesa, who called podcasts silly, 0.
Right.
So I it's a score for what we're doing. It's a score for what you and I have talked about this show trying to become. When we started this show, we wanted to be like WFAN and a sports talk call-in show. That's what we grew up on. And we've moved away from that. And go ahead.
No, let's not misrepresent it. We never talked about having the president on our show.
Well, you did. That's been my goal.
Oh, really? That's what this is all about?
December of 2009.
Oh, okay.
No, you're absolutely right. What I mean is moving away from the call-in sort of pomposity that was going on with call-in sports talk shows and trying to be more of a podcast where it's two guys just talking about sports and having a guest every once in a while and also trying to be a home for bloggers and social media types. And anyway.
It's a conversation.
It's a conversation.
Instead of a lecture.
That's correct. That's absolutely.
That's a good analogy, right?
Yep. It absolutely is. And I feel like we're getting there. But anyway, let's not break our arms patting ourselves on the back.
Enough about us.
How about us?
How great do you think we are?
I love me. Who do you love?
Ah, we're just kidding.
You'll notice that we are sans a special presence tonight.
Yeah, where is the old bishop tonight?
We're going to go ahead and play his intro music. We're going to play his intro.
I feel like pouring one out for him. Right?
Normally, on a normal week, I'd be saying, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome to the podcast our producer, Bishop Hopkins, which is Jay. Alas, alack. You're not going to believe this. He's got to work tonight.
What?
That's right.
He does have to work tonight.
Here.
What is he doing?
So your first question is, he has a job?
I knew of something that he might do per se, but I wasn't really sure what the job actually was.
No, he's actually doing that thing. Our buddy Jim Nance said he is second to none.
Oh, okay, good.
He's doing some sound engineering for IMG. Couldn't tell me what it was.
That's all right.
That's correct.
It lends to his air of mystery.
It does. He couldn't tell me what project he was working on, but he's actually working tonight. He was going to try to maybe call in later, but he said he's being watched.
Oh, okay.
So we will miss the Bishop Pop Culture PJ tonight. There will be no instant impressions other than the 8 minutes of walking I did at the top of the show. Cal, tell me about Sports Night.
Sports Night at the
Not the TV show, not the tremendously underrated Aaron Sorkin TV show.
No. And yeah, that, you know, he's not here, so we can play that game. Underrated, overrated, rated. You think?
Tremendously underrated.
Absolutely.
That show is phenomenal.
Great show. I think it's on Netflix, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, so if anybody has not seen Sports Night, check it out. It's really good.
It's
Sorkin-y, It's but, very Sorkin-y. It's rich with Sorkin.
And if that rubs you the wrong way, it might not be the show for you. But if you like Aaron Sorkin and what he does, it's good acting.
Tremendous cast. You have Josh Charles there. Some may know him as Knox Overstreet from Dead Poets Society. Others may know him now from The Good Wife.
Right.
Josh
Peter Krause.
Peter Krause, pre-Six Feet Under.
Right.
So he's not a star yet. They play the two anchors of a fictional ESPN-type sports night show.
A pre-Desperate Housewives Felicity Huffman.
Because, right. Who's married, of course, to... See, they're all intermingled there. Felicity right. Huffman's married to William H. Macy, yes?
Yeah, we call him Bill.
Bill Macy, right.
Bill Macy.
Well, when I worked with him.
I got a funny story about Bill Macy.
Let's have it.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I don't. I, really.
I actually don't. I called him Bill once.
Well, I don't even know you. Robert Guillaume?
Robert Guillaume, yes, he was the head of the network, right?
He plays the head of the network. It's a great show.
Joshua Malina, who show. Became a Sorkin disciple later on.
That's in right. Yep. It used on The West Wing, of course.
Really, really, just a really good show.
You know what? There's a lot of though, Cal, because it is Sorkin-esque. There's a lot of walk and talks.
Oh yeah.
A lot of the walk and talks.
There is.
That's how you do a Sorkin scene.
A walk and talk?
You have to be walking, going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the conversation. And then you get to the set piece. But it's walk, walk, walk. We're talking. I'm so busy. I have a ton of things to do. We're talking. We're totally talking. Ask him about that. I don't even know what you're talking about from last night. But if you are, you should probably do it in somebody else's office. No, Janine, I don't want any coffee. And I don't want that highlight of Charles Barkley. And then you're at the set, and you've done a walk and talk.
Yes, and you've got – yeah, that's right. And your destination, and then someone else joins the person at the set.
Right.
And there you go. And scene.
We just wrote a Sorkin scene. Anyway, sports night.
Did you ever get into Studio 60 on the Sunset?
Loved it.
It's great, right?
Of course I did. I'm so predictable.
Yeah, I know.
With my TV watching.
I really liked it.
It was excellent. The biggest, it was unsustainable.
And it was preachy.
Yes, it did. And it was unsustainable.
Yeah, I know.
It was costing like $6 million an episode to make.
But another just knockout cast.
Walk and talk, walk and talk, walk and talk. There are
walk and talk, which is what the name of this episode is going to be titled.
Walk and talk. That's right.
Walk and talk.
But there are certain actors that just handle it extraordinarily well. And I think one of the like Peter Krause or like Bradley Whitford, there's actors that work with Mamet that handle Mamet dialogue really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Sports Night, though, and then we'll talk about actual Sports Night. It could have been. I just feel like it hit at the wrong time.
You think? I think if it hit now, it wouldn't have been as good.
Oh, see, I think if it hit now, it kills only because of Twitter and Facebook. And
oh, well, maybe, yeah, you have the whole social media aspect of it. That's true.
Right. Like, the word of mouth spreads on that show if it hits 3 years ago as opposed to 10 years ago.
But I feel like ESPN and the sports centers – are played out by now.
That's true.
You know, a couple years ago, it was good.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's loosely based on Patrick and Overman, on Dan Patrick and Keith Overman.
Right.
And that's who Krause and Josh Charles are playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you're definitely right. There's a pocket there. There's a little window that he had to hit. But, you know, again, it's like Arrested Development. Like Arrested Development happens 5 years too early.
Right.
You know, if Arrested Development starts 3 years ago when Mad Men did, or 4 years ago when Mad Men did, it's huge. It never goes off the air.
And not on a network.
You know what? It was fine on Fox, Cal.
I agree with you. I think it was fine on Fox. I think it would have been more successful and more sustainable on cable.
I disagree.
Yeah?
I think the only reason that it failed, and this is just my personal opinion. I don't want to play David Bean Cooley here. I'm David Bean Cooley for Fresh Air.
I think the largest reason it failed is because Fox never knew how to promote it and advertise for it, and nobody had done it yet. Like, look at 30 Rock. Look at the way 30 Rock is structured. Look at what 30 Rock does with, like, quick flashbacks and super surreal sort of dialogue and that sort of thing.
Good point.
That nobody had done it yet. Fox had no idea. Now, if it was on NBC 3 years ago as the lead into 30 Rock, forget about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it didn't need to be on HBO. It didn't need cursing. It didn't need nudity.
I was thinking more like
promotionally?
Like, no, more like an AMC.
AMC,
you know?
Okay. But AMC is only there because of Mad Men. And Mad Men's 3 years ago. Well, 4 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Well, anyway, now that we've had a frank discussion of TV.
It plays into the whole Dead Zone topic that this is what we're talking about right now.
Right.
Actual Sports Night.
Yes.
Interesting. It was at the old intermediate school.
Right, which was the junior high school that we attended.
It was the junior high school that we actually attended. One of my most favorite athletic memories, not a specific memory, but an event, was our maroon and gold night, which was those were our school colors in junior high school.
That's right.
And they took the graduating eighth graders and split them into two teams, maroon and gold, and we competed in a series of events. And that was very similar to what happened tonight.
It was a week of events too, by the way. Maroon and gold.
There were the preliminary events that led up to the night.
To the night of, right?
Yes, you're right. Because that's when you got hurt, as you reminded us today.
That's correct.
It was in one of the preliminary events, right?
We were talking about a couple of our friends and going back and forth on our in our chat room, our RTU chat room on our phones or whatever. And I was saying the scars from that event, from getting picked. Because it was done by choice, so we elected captains,
right?
And those captains picked teams,
right?
Of everyone, of an entire class of kids.
Yes.
So, and it was, of course, those lists. I mean, those lists were about as sacred as the list of 103 for the PEDs. You know, the list of where you were picked. Of course, yeah. That leaked. You know, I don't know if we had a TMZ back then, but. Somebody acted as TMZ and leaked. I saw the list. And, of course, the captains who picked it weren't going to keep their mouth shut.
No.
So why should an eighth grader, say...
14-year-old kid.
Yeah, I picked you 96th, So I was just commenting that some of us have emotional scars from that evening, while I have a physical scar from that event.
Literally, huh?
Yes. Yes, I slid to block a shot in our floor hockey match.
Wait a second. You slid to block a shot in an eighth grade preliminary,
correct.
Essentially what was a gym class, and you injured yourself.
That's correct. Floor hockey was one of that we played, maroon versus gold, floor hockey. I had grown up playing street hockey and stuff like that, eventually roller hockey.
But my point is, as an eighth grader in a gym class, essentially, you laid out to block a puck.
That's correct. I think it was a ball. I think we actually played floor hockey with a...
It was ball, right.
A ball. Yeah. Took a stick to the face. I have a scar on my chin to this day.
Oh,
right,
man.
Right in the Harrison Ford spot.
Yeah, right.
In the Harrison Ford spot.
Yeah, that was a good year for you, that eighth grade. Year.
Broke my thumb in the last game of the
couple
baseball
months later.
Yep.
Yeah.
We won the game, I will say that.
Well, I should hope so.
Yes, I laid out to block a shot. So,
Julia,
sports night.
Yeah, my daughter Julia, she's in third grade, so they've changed the configuration of the school since we went. So she's a little younger. But still, it was the same exact venue, and really strange being in that gym, which essentially 25 years later,
mm-hmm.
for the exact same reason, you know. Yeah. But what they do is they again run some events with the kids. Some are with the kids, some are with the parents,
some our kids and parents
involved here.
Oh yeah, no, this was all inclusive,
like Club Med,
a little bit. But there's, I mean, just the volume of people, you didn't get involved in too much. So my event tonight was garbage ball.
Nice.
Do you know what garbage ball is?
I don't.
Okay, I didn't either until. And it was funny because I'm asking her in front of her friends. Wait, Julia, what's garbage ball? And I got the Dad, garbage ball. You throw a ball into a garbage pail. She's eight. Sorry.
Yeah.
I spent the rest of the night just holding her water, literally.
Right.
Like she'd come running over and grab the bottle of water out of my hand.
How did you fare in garbage ball, though?
Well, it's weird because it was an adult event, so the kids would go first, and then the adults go. Garbage ball basically is exactly what it sounds like. You're trying to throw a Nerf basketball into a garbage pail. And they set the two garbage pails up on either end of the gym, and you just throw on the balls. Now, the rules were you couldn't cross the center line, obviously. And then the other rule was you couldn't try to block a ball from going into the pail.
Good sportsmanship, sure.
Completely taking any shred of competitiveness out of the event. So the rest of us just kind of looked at each other like, well, okay, so now what?
So you just wanted to be swatting the ball, like totally minute bowling.
Right, but you couldn't do that.
Couldn't do that.
No, so it was just you throw the ball, you pick it up, you try to throw it into the pail. That was it.
So you got your exercise tonight.
I stood in one spot and just watched these Nerf balls rain down around me.
So you worked out tonight.
I had my track pants on.
I see that. I see you got, we do the video streaming chat, so we can chat with each other here. And
yeah.
I see you got the Under Armour on. Were you sponsored for tonight?
I was, yeah. Under Armour. I got my my sneakers on. I was all ready to go. I thought I was going to be involved in. Now, to be fair, there were some more physical events. There was an adult kid scooter race.
Nice.
So you push the kid to the one end, and then the kid pushes the adult back.
Hey.
Yeah,
you
know, that's just an injury waiting to happen.
Yes, exactly. That's a lawsuit
under the wheels and. What big loops falling off a 4-inch scooter?
Talk about a lawsuit, boy. I hope none of them were lawyers. Talk about a lawsuit waiting to happen.
It was great. But what I was most proud of was my daughter was in the race chase.
Right.
It's called the race chase. And basically, it's the two teams line up on either side, and they run counterclockwise to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Around the gym. One goes one way, the other one goes the other way. And the idea is, and it's a relay race, and the idea is to try to catch the other person. That's the chase part. It's a race, but that's the chase part.
Wrapped in a chase. Now, did you have her doing two-a-days for this, or?
I did. You know, I had her. We did some suicides before we got there. all she wanted was some juice.
I just envision you like Herb Brooks blowing the whistle again and again.
I have a whistle and a clipboard.
Again.
And a stopwatch.
Run it again. Run it again.
Dad, I just want some Goldfish crackers. No, not yet.
What school do you play for?
But she did really good. She was... one of the fastest out there, and I'm
nice.
Totally bragging about her. But
so she got that cow speed.
Yeah, she was fast. She's lanky. I mean, she's awkward and lanky and long strides and.
You defined lanky at that age.
I did.
Well, kudos to Julia.
It was fun. Awesome. But another little father-daughter bonding.
Beautiful. Meanwhile, Emma's at home. What?
Emma does dance.
With the evil Girl Scouts, or?
Emma's a competition dancer. So she's on a strict training regimen.
She needs the exact amount of sleep every night.
It's a rough household you got going over there. Kids running, you know, two a day. This is no free rides here.
No, you know, what I learned is discipline early with your kids. Early. I would say you might even be behind the curve here.
I might. It might be time to get Wes a job. He's going to be 15 months next week.
Can I give you some advice with Wes?
Please.
And you'll never go wrong with this. This is going to help him for the rest of his life, too.
All right.
Teach him Excel. Microsoft Excel.
That's it. Cal's keys to parenting.
There are precious few preschoolers right now that know how to use Microsoft Excel. If you get him work in pivot tables and formulas...
And now it's time for Cal's Parenting Tips. This is our version of The More You Know.
Right.
Go ahead. Say it again, Cal.
Go ahead. Ready?
Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
You know what you do for your kid to always help the rest of his life? Give him an edge. Teach him Microsoft Excel. You can't go wrong with that.
This has been More You Know with Brian Calvi from Ready to Unleash Cal and Stampede.
Oh
boy, we did another The More You Know. Good.
That's good.
Hey, listen.
By the way, clearly there is no producer tonight, as you can tell.
I thought that wasn't bad. What I just did there.
I couldn't figure out what's that. What is that music?
That's PJ had put that up there for us. He recorded that.
Oh, that was him.
Or he found it. The chances are good he recorded it before the flood, when he still had a studio.
Oh, okay.
Correct. Yes. I think there's no way he recorded that. He's a good guitarist and stuff, but he found that. I'm not sure why.
Wow.
I think that was for the segment we were going to do on when we were doing the medieval sports news. like what the sports cast would look like in medieval times. Never went over. I don't know why we're writing SNL bits here, but that's okay.
We don't do bits.
We don't do bits. Just talking from the heart. All right?
It's a conversation.
Couple things, Cal. This week has already been crazy. Fred Wilpon addresses the media. I need to talk about this. I'm ready to burst. But before we do, I want you to tell our listening audience out there what's on my head.
Literally?
That's correct.
What's on your head?
That's right.
It's a brand shiny new New York Mets spring training cap, 2012 edition.
Correct. And what somebody bearing a striking resemblance to me in all ways, including girth, say right here on this radio program / podcast about new Met paraphernalia for the 2012 season.
If we were any kind of show, we'd have that racked.
We'd have that racked. What did I say? Tell them, no, it'll be good. What did I say?
I'm not going to remember the exact...
You can paraphrase.
It was something about you, as long as the Wilpons own this team, I will not give them another dime.
Not give them another dime.
Was that right? Was close?
That's correct.
And I know PJ and I both thought you wouldn't make it to Memorial Day.
Right.
With that edict.
Turns out I didn't make it to Arbor Day. I didn't make it to Earth Day.
No. I mean, you barely made it. You didn't even make it. Well, you made it to March 1.
Well, no. Tell the people what else that I texted you.
But did you? Well, that's true. I didn't know if that was a done deal though. You texted.
Oh, it's a done deal.
Opening day tickets.
That's correct.
That was earlier in the week.
That's correct.
So you made it.
So I had to get a new hat.
You did not make it out of February.
I said that I would not go to a game or give the Wilpons money. This season I was going to buy merchandise. I wasn't going to go to games. I would still watch because I love the Mets and I'd still watch on SNY. but I was not going to contribute to the Wilpons as long as they own the team. Well,
right.
A funny thing happened on the way to that. And I thought that was the right thing to do. Because, as has been said a ton this week on the various sports talk stations in this town, and overall, especially after Fred Wilpon's comments on Monday about how they will hold on to the team and ownership of the team with a death grip, that there's a lot – you can vote with your wallet. You can vote by not going to the games. You know, this is the big thing. Don't go to Citi Field. Don't buy Met stuff. Francesa even suggested just go root for the Yankees because, you know, a Met fan's little love affair with the Mets is a temporary thing.
Hmm.
You know, it's not like you actually love the Mets. It should be easy to just jump ship.
It's like a schoolboy crush.
That's right. The girl with the curl.
The girl with the curl.
So I was going along with that theory, and then a funny thing happened on the way to that. I remembered, I love watching live baseball, particularly the Mets. So I'm not going to let the Wilpons win there. B, if I go to the game or not, if there's 50,000, well, it doesn't hold 50,000. If there's 42,000 people in Citi Field every day for all of April, it's not going to change a thing about the team or their ownership. Because the revelations to me are, in terms of this, are it has to do with a court case. It's that simple. If they wind up owing $300 million, they're not going to be able to keep the team. If they wind up only owing $86 million, they might be able to keep the team. It has nothing to do with who shows up this year. It has nothing to do with it, Brian. Nothing.
I don't think I would say nothing.
It has nothing to do with it. They lost $70 million last year, Brian.
I know.
They could have 10,000 people in the stands every night. They're still not going to sell the team.
But they're going to lose. They're not going to generate the revenue that they need to even try to pay back those debts.
They're not going to generate it anyway. It doesn't matter. It's all contingent on a court case. Period. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many fans show up in the stands. It doesn't.
I just
they're going to lose $50 million again this year. Is that going to change the payroll next year? If they're exonerated in the court case and they're able to hold on to the team, they'll spend money. They always have. They haven't spent it wisely. They have no idea what the fans want. They have no idea how to run a team, but they've spent money. So what I'm saying is, me going to the game, why should I make myself suffer?
Look, that's been my take on it all along.
No, I'm not going to go buy season tickets. I'm not going to go every day. But opening day tickets become available. Yeah, I'll go. It's opening day. It's baseball. It's a mess.
If someone
that's gave, help them keep the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. It's really not. What's going to help them keep the team or lose the team is the stuff that Howard Megdahl's been writing about. I mean, that's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is they have certain loans, the Wilpons have certain loans that are going to come due at a certain time, and if they can't pay them, eventually they're going to either have to sell the team, go into bankruptcy, or take on a full-time partner. And since they can't seem to sell shares of the team to anybody but themselves, so my point is this, Bri, and this is what infuriated me all week, because there seems to be a ton of sports media types here in this town telling me what I'm supposed to think and feel about the Mets. And I'm going to get to the one that's really burning my craw in a minute. But do you think that's true, Brian, what I just said? I mean, Cal, do you think that's true, what I just said? It doesn't matter how much they lose this year. They're going to try, like he said on Monday, you shouldn't concern yourself with who owns the team. No, let me ask a better question. Sorry, that was a bad question. Let me ask a better question.
I didn't get the question there.
Let me ask a better question.
Okay.
Let me ask a question. Resembling, do something resembling anything.
Look, you lost me. I'll be honest. I was like, where is he going?
I was just about to say baby fish mouth. sweeping the nation. I hear the kids saying it.
All right, let's try this again.
The question is, their payroll, everybody's made such a huge deal out of the Mets' payroll. It's gone from $142 million to $91 million or whatever it is. Do you think, honestly, that – or what would they have done differently if they hadn't lost $70 million last year? I can't think of one thing.
One thing they would have done differently?
That's correct.
In this offseason. What would they have done differently?
Let's say it's pre-Madoff. Let's go back to 2005 and everything's hunky-dory. And Sandy Alderson's running this team, but we have this offseason instead of that offseason, right, with the players involved and stuff and whatnot. What would they have done differently?
Well, honestly, they would not have overpaid for Reyes.
They still
wouldn't have.
I agree.
You know, and that
for Mike Hampton, they didn't overpay for A-Rod. They didn't overpay for a lot of guys with long-term deals. So I agree. So
well, this would have been a little different because he's homegrown, and there would have been more pressure on them to overpay him.
They would have made him an offer for $6 and $100. Okay, but it still would have been incentive-based coming off his injuries and whatnot. And they probably would have gotten outbid by the Marlins.
They probably would have offered him a little bit more money than that, I think.
Absolutely. But that's the only difference, Bri. Would you have wanted them to go sign Mark Burley to a four-year, $35 million deal or whatever he got?
No.
It's a terrible move.
No.
Are they going to give Albert Pujols 10 years and $250 million with Ike Davis on the roster? I mean, does that make any sense?
I think there were things they could have done to improve the team if they were willing to spend a little bit of money.
Absolutely.
Right? But, I mean, we're not talking bringing in a stud number one starter or bringing in a cleanup hitting first baseman. No huge impact moves like that would have been made if there were no financial difficulties. I really believe that.
I agree. I'm in no way, shape, or form trying to exonerate the Wilpons here by any means.
No, I know.
Anybody who has ever listened to this program, you know me very, very well. Nobody wants them to sell that team more than I do. No one. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone. But this is more about what Sandy Alderson and Di Podesta and Ricciardi have come in to do and are doing. And this notion that somehow these guys have been invisible and no Met fan has an idea of what Sandy Alderson's plan is. Do you go on a blog? I mean, the guy couldn't be more accessible. He couldn't have said many more times what exactly he is doing with the franchise.
Well, you know what? And that's another excellent point, Steve. He appears to be more accessible to the bloggers than he does to the beat writers, and that is driving them nuts because they're the ones that deliver the message. It traditionally, you got your message about the Mets from the beat writers, and now you're not getting the message from them, so they automatically believe that you don't know what the message is. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of other ways to get that message now.
Absolutely, and the Mets are doing very – and the Yankees are as well a little bit, but the Yankees don't need to. The Yankees can control their message. They always have been able to. Okay, the Mets are terrible at controlling their message, and they've screwed it up so badly for so many years with the regular media that they're trying their hand with the new social media. You know, Cerrone on Mets blog had a live Q&A from Port St. Lucie, and he took one of my questions. Of course, we've had Matt on the show and stuff like that. He knows who we are. And he's a really good guy, and he took one of my questions, and my question was, how different is it in Port St. Lucie these days for a blogger? And have the Mets done a better job than most teams with accessibility? And he wrote back and said, he answered the question and said, it's amazing. He said, I'm down here right now with myself, Michael Barron, Toby Hyde, who writes Mets Minor League blog, Ted Berg, who writes headquarters.net. The other night, Sandy Alderson did a bloggers-only press conference.
Mm-hmm.
you know, press Q&A. I mean, this is their plan is out there, Bri. It's to shed the team of ridiculously bad contracts and build up and rebuild the farm system. How hard is this?
One of the things that Sandy Alderson said when he got hired 2 years ago or a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
The day that he was hired, his plan was to create payroll flexibility.
Absolutely. And that was before he knew he was
going to. The day he got hired. So for someone to say the Met fans don't know what the plan is.
Right.
We knew the plan within the first 20 minutes of him being employed by the organization. You know, and Steve, what has he done? He has created that payroll flexibility, and he will tell you, and Fred Wilpon will tell you, and believe them or not believe them, however you want to take it, they will tell you that the flexibility is there to add a player if they need to, if they feel that that's what's in the best interest of the team. They're not going to just throw money for the sake of throwing money out there. But if they have a fit on their team, they want to bring somebody in, and it's going to cost them some money, the option is there. They'll do it.
Now, this is where we get into a gray area, though, because I don't believe they do have the money to do it right now. They don't.
Right now, I agree.
That's another area where Fred Wilpon is a flat liar.
Right.
I mean, if there was – and Ruben has said this, and I have to give Adam Rubin credit, and because he's right – and credit where credit is due, you know, looking at this team in camp, if you had $10 million more that you would have been willing to spend, this would have been a better team.
Right.
Okay. You could have brought in a couple of guys for that $10 million to have some flexibility and some stability and a backup plan in the starting rotation because they're extraordinarily thin there. They don't know what Johan Santana is going to be. You could have brought in a backup catcher or somebody to genuinely compete with Tolley for the job. You could have brought in a fourth outfielder that's not, reclamation project that Adam Loewen is, or Mike Baxter, who's a lovely story, but is probably not a major league player. So I don't believe them there. I don't believe anything that comes out of Fred Wilpon's mouth.
No,
but
absolutely not.
This notion that Sandy Alderson is here as – I don't believe it anymore, Cal. I may have. Believed it initially that he's here as some sort of mission from Bud Selig. And I'm sure there's a part of that that's true. But I think once Sandy Alderson got here and saw what the situation was, now he's like in. Like Sandy Alderson is pot invested now. He's in.
Yeah.
He's pushed his chips to the table. He's like, I'm going to make this work. If you don't think that this guy's invested in making this work, because now his legacy's on the line. So I think he very well may have taken the job as a favor to Bud Selig.
He's been pretty frank about the fact that it wasn't – this turned out to be not exactly what he expected.
No.
He really didn't understand the depths of what was going on here.
No. And nor could he have, because the Wilpons were lying about it.
Right. Who would take the job if you knew exactly what was going on?
And the Wilpons have been lying about it since the get-go. I mean, these are the same people that said that the Madoff, when Madoff got arrested, that it wasn't going to affect the team at all.
Well, but Fred Wilpon addressed that this week.
Yeah, I know. And he's full of crap.
He said that, we were right at the time because we didn't know we were going to be sued.
You weren't right at the time. You had Met money invested in Madoff accounts. So it didn't make a difference if you were going to be sued or not. Here's what I'm saying. I'm wearing this brand new, shiny, awesome Mets hat.
Nice hat.
And I'm going to opening day. We're going to opening day. We're going to opening day.
We're going to opening day.
Yep. We're probably going to play a little golf in the morning. Nice. We're going to opening day.
We always go. I mean, I always go.
We went last year.
We went last year.
We're going to make a thing out of it.
Doesn't matter what the team is to me because it symbolizes the beginning of the season.
Right.
And we're Met fans, we're baseball fans.
We're also going to talk about this more as the season progresses when we get into as spring training progresses, as we talk about, like, you and I will definitely get into what's going on the field with both the Mets and the Yankees and all of Major League Baseball. Like, this is one of my favorite things to do,
mm-hmm.
Is talk about the position battles and who's where and what team, you know. But we also, like Ike Davis said today, did you hear Ike, by the way, Cal, on – F-A-N?
No.
Magnificent. Ike Davis got riled up.
He
said to Francesa, he said, we haven't even played a game yet. And you guys all have us losing 100 games. He said, why?
Oh, that's great.
Why is that? You know, can we play a game first?
What was the response?
He was riled up.
I'm curious, what was the response to that?
Francesa's response?
From the host.
That's cute. I mean, what's he going to say? You know what I mean? It's the same thing he said with Wright the other day when he had David Wright on.
David Wright also acquitted himself very well.
Yeah. He's a good kid. Deserves better. You know, deserves better than this. Hey, look, you know what? Nobody's saying that this team is going to win 90 games. Okay, but to say that they're going to be historically bad in January when they haven't even swung at a pitch is ridiculous. I'm sorry, it's ridiculous. And we'll get into it. We'll get into it as far as the Marlins, you know, because what could possibly go wrong there? I mean, that never happens, right, Brian? Like, teams never throw tons of money at a bunch of free agents and have a combustible clubhouse.
It always works.
Led by a psychopath of a manager. That always works.
Always works.
What could go wrong?
No. Chemistry is so overrated.
Yeah, no. Throwing a bunch of money at high-priced free agents always works. Just ask the Mets. So, anyway, we'll talk about it.
The Eagles.
Lastly, ask the Heat. Ask the Mets about nine times in their nine different times in their. Ask the Yankees in the 80s.
Right, and then when you're done, go back and ask the Mets again.
Right. I bought this hat. I'm proud to wear it. I'm looking forward to going to opening day. I don't think it makes one lick of difference in whether the Wolf. That's where I've changed my tune. It doesn't matter, Cal. I could go to every game this season.
Right.
They're either going to keep the team or lose the team based on that lawsuit.
It's not based on us.
It's not.
How did you feel about Fred Wilpon making a joke the other day when they asked him how the finances were?
Well, you came up with the perfect term for Fred Wilpon. And that, was it willful arrogance? Or?
No, arrogant defiance.
Arrogant defiance. Yeah, it's just they haven't.
That's the entire family's like that.
Has, though. I mean, we talked about it last week with them taking a helicopter to a game. You know, to the Heat game and privately chartering a helicopter to have it land on the field.
Right.
You know, rather than drive up the road, like Vaccaro said. Vaccaro said that, by the way, the day after our podcast.
Was it Vaccaro? I knew somebody addressed that.
It was Vaccaro.
That was, you know, you can do that. You chose to have the helicopter land behind second base for a reason.
That's right.
You know.
And it's to say F you, everybody who thinks we're broke.
Right.
And it's a huge F you to Met fans.
Mm-hmm.
He's been so tone deaf. They've both been tone deaf for so long that, again, I don't in any way, shape, or form want them to keep this team. And that ruling, by the way, Bri, is probably going to come down Monday.
As to whether or not the trial will even take place.
And so whether or not the trial will go forward.
Right. It's scheduled to start on the 19th of March.
Yeah, if the trial goes forward. However,
right, we'll find out on Monday.
Judge Rakoff in the Southern District of New York here could simply rule that they owe this much.
Right.
You know. If you read Megdahl, if you read Howard Megdahl, you realize that if he even rules that $86 million, the lowest it could possibly be,
uh-huh.
on Monday, the Wilpons are going to have to take a loan immediately to pay that off.
Or
because you have to post $91 million to appeal it.
Right.
So I don't know where they're going to get $91 million from. Maybe all the stuff that's sitting in escrow from the shares of their own team that they bought. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the Yankees. Seriously. Let's talk about – because there's more in the Mets, but I feel good about what I've said. I'm tired of being told how I'm supposed to feel as a Mets fan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm especially tired of guys like Francesa, who are obviously Yankee fans, who set the narrative, telling me how I'm supposed to feel about the Mets, how I'm supposed to feel about Reyes, mm-hmm. what I would want him to ask Fred Wilpon.
Right.
Yeah, I want an interview with Fred Wilpon. I don't want you to do it. I really don't.
How about all the goofing off going on in Met camp too? How dare they?
Yeah.
You have a historically bad team. You're gonna fool around. You better get serious, fellas.
So
better get serious. That was David Lennon today. That was David Lennon's article on Tuesday.
Yeah. Right. Because Tim Burdack, the reliever for the Mets, had dyed his like ridiculous mustache blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like Hulk Hogan's, so he came out dressed as Hulk Hogan and did like Hulkamania, and it was great. Everybody loved it. Everybody had a great time. Oh,
did you see the reason why he did it? Did you read about that?
I didn't read the whole article. I just saw that he did it.
Okay, the reason why he did it was, again, it was a social media experiment, and he apparently was teaching the young players in the clubhouse how quickly something can be spread today in the age of Twitter.
Wow, really?
Yeah, that was his whole. That was his way of showing them. And now he had fun with it, obviously. And it was funny. You know, it was funny.
It's great. I thought it was great.
You know, it wasn't. He didn't do it in the middle of spring training when guys are fighting for jobs.
That's day two.
You know,
come on.
He did it when, like, it's the first day that everybody's there and everybody's, you know, loose,
right,
and trying to have fun and you know, trying to set a tone. And one of the reasons why he did it, he said, was it was, you know, as an elder statesman on the team, it was a way to show the younger players. Now, remember, at this point in camp, there is a ton of just brand new young kids that have never experienced this before and don't know what to do, you know?
Yep.
It's almost like teaching them life in the big leagues, which is again a very underrated piece of being a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
But that was the reason why he did it.
I think that's fantastic.
It's great.
And to be taken to task for that is just stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
You know, and predictably
we serious.
And we talked about it. Like, yep. when we saw it happen, we both said, okay, wait, let's now cue the naysayers, cue the criticism, only
yep.
the Mets.
Yep. Cue the indignity at the fact that they're having a good time.
Yep. How dare they?
Whatever. I don't want to be told anymore how I'm supposed to view the team. I don't want to be told what my course of action should be or whatever. And lastly, for me, I also, you know, to say that you don't understand what Sandy Alderson's plan is or where is Paul De Podesta. Paul De Podesta runs the draft. He ran the draft. He was on TV for 3 weeks every night after the draft. To say that you haven't seen him in a year and the Mets are paying him $1 million for what is absolutely idiotic. He was just on Hot Stove 3 weeks ago with Kevin Burkhardt.
But where's De Podesta? What's he doing?
He ran the draft. That's his job. He's the assistant GM. He runs the draft. He's the guy who made the Wheeler trade. He scouted Wheeler. Mm-hmm. And got Wheeler. That's his job. And Sandy Alderson, if anything, has been unbelievably, as you said, unbelievably forthcoming with what the plan is. I have to cut payroll. There's a ton of dead weight here. I waited on Reyes. He didn't trade Reyes when he could have. He waited it out. He hoped that they could sign him. I don't think he was going to have the financial restrictions that he did.
Right.
I think he thought he was going to be able to offer him more money, to be honest with you.
But I also think that he wasn't willing to tie up that much money in Jose Reyes.
I don't think they would have gone 6 years and $120 million. I don't think they would have done it.
Because it's not a smart baseball decision.
That's exactly right. Now, for Fred Wilpon to throw him under the bus the other day.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing about that little press conference that drove me nuts, Cal. I mean, everything was, it's a baseball decision, it's a baseball decision, it's a baseball decision.
Right.
Nonsense, Fred. You literally just threw Sandy Alderson under the bus completely for Jose Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
But you know his plan. His plan is to shed payroll, have payroll flexibility, and rebuild the minor leagues. And if I have to hear one more time, they got a couple of arms that maybe will be good in a couple of years.
Right.
The minor league organization in 1 year went from like 29th to like 20th. That's huge.
They have three of the top 100 prospects in baseball as rated by Baseball America.
A nonpartisan organization.
a nonpartisan organization that specializes in rating young players. It's what they do.
Yeah.
They feel that three of the Mets pitchers are among the top 100.
Yeah, and you know what? Mejia probably would have been on that list had it not been for the Tommy John.
Could be.
You know, so he could soon be on that list again. He's 20. The point is, they're doing what they're doing exactly what he said his plan was going to be.
And nobody
exactly what it was.
And like you said, nobody's expecting them to win 90 games or contend for a wild card spot. Nobody is that delusional, you know. But what we expect is that we're going to see a competitive team. We're going to see the beginnings of what Sandy Alderson and his crew have been brought in to build. And you know, we're going to see
resolution to the financial situation, Cal.
One way or the other,
it's going to be resolved this season.
One way or the other.
You're going to know one way or the other if they're going to be able to hold on to the team or if they're going to have to sell the team. It's that simple. You're going to know that this season.
Right.
You absolutely are. So, good. I feel better. Now.
Feel better? How about the underdog t-shirt before we finish?
Oh, yeah, boy. Oh, boy.
What about that?
I would have loved it if it was a player. The fact that it's Jeff Wilpon.
Yep.
The one of the owners, you made us an underdog. You can't then give us the t-shirts. You know, that's Batman dropping Joker in acid and then, you know, selling him a Joker t-shirt. you can't do that.
That I bring that up because as much as you've come around and we've taken the stance on the Mets that, you know, this is Major League this year. We want them to be successful just to shove it in everybody's face. Whenever you do that and you defend them and you get on their side and you get behind them and you get excited, they still have a tendency to do something like that with the underdog t-shirts and you can't defend it. And
it didn't bother me that much. But the
grief that they get, they deserve.
But the idiocy of it is that it's the ownership. Okay.
Right.
If it was Ike Davis who went and had these shirts made up, you wouldn't have a problem with it.
No, of course not.
You'd feel great about it. So why doesn't the ownership just leave them alone and let them do it?
Right.
Rather than force it. You know what I mean?
Now it has been made into such a federal case that you would think that they were walking around in blackface. This team, you know?
Which is always a poor choice. Let us just remind you again. Ready to unload that reminder? Can I do my The More You Know?
Yeah, go ahead. Hit the music.
Let me see. Oh wait, I need to use different music. Or should we use the same music?
No, it's the same. You got to use the same music.
Right. We should use the same music. Okay. Hi, this is Steve Sampietro from Ready to Unload with Cal and Sampi. Just to let you know, blackface is still always a bad idea. The more you know. It's pretty good. I feel good about that.
That was really good.
I think we got that in one take.
I think so. We can print that.
Martini shot. That's it. We're out. Hey, Cal.
Yeah.
Bobby V and the Yankees I love it. Oh, I love it so much.
How dare he?
You animal.
How dare you? You animal. Who are you? Bobby Valentine. Who are you?
Oh, I love it so much. I can't even wrap my head around how much I love it.
And the best part about it is he is laughing his way down the street.
Can I ask? I have two questions for you. I think it was Vaccaro who wrote today in the New York Post about how great it is that Boston fans have to root for a guy just like Rex.
Right.
Who's now managing the Red Sox, and they hate Rex Ryan. But how does – okay, so Bobby Valentine's doing like a second day of camp interview down at Red Sox camp.
Uh-huh.
How does Derek Jeter's cutoff play against the A's even come up? Was it because they were – I think it was because the Red Sox were practicing cutoffs maybe.
I don't know. I wish I knew. And who brought it up? Was it the media or was it Bobby Valentine?
It was the media who asked him, what did you think of that play? Because maybe something happened on the field where like – and one of the media was like, oh, if Jeter was there, you know, or if Jeter was in on that play, he would have been backing it up or something like that. And Valentine – you have a weird situation there, Brian, because their collapse, the Red Sox collapse was epic.
Yes.
And there could be a no pun intended hangover there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first day he comes out and says no more beer, Bobby Valentine says no more beer in the locker room.
Right.
So prohibition has been enacted. I stole that line from Vaccaro. And then the next day he comes out and rips Jeter and basically calls A-Rod a puss.
Like, right.
And that Varitek beat the crap out of A-Rod.
And then the next day retracts the Jeter statement, I have to apologize, because of course they practiced that play.
Right.
And it was such a snarky apology.
Yeah, like
too.
Tongue so firmly in his cheek.
Right. But everybody ran with it. Oh, I see. Look what he did. He backtracked. He had to apologize for
because
it.
Because the Yankee brass and writers got very upset.
And fans.
And very defensive. Like, you know,
yep.
Yankees have been practicing that play since this guy was in running the minor league system. Like, that's what the Post said or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Some stuff protests too much. You know, don't want to see anything touched in, you know, the captain's lore. But,
you know, and just real quick, you know what I find to be an extremely underrated, fun thing about Derek Jeter? As he gets older, he is so cranky.
Really?
He just has no patience for anything anymore. Do you see him in interviews, post-game interviews, you know, he just has no patience for anything. He's just like, you know, really? I got to talk about this?
Right. What did you think of Bobby Valentine's comments? Really? I'm Derek Jeter.
Are you actually asking me that?
Can I just send you a gift basket? Can we move on?
I have an edge.
I have an edge. Okay? Maybe you haven't heard. I'm an edge. Here's a gift basket. Let's just call it a day.
And then A-Rod comes out and says, oh, listen, I'm not going to win too many war of words.
Yeah, that's for sure.
He's just like deputy dog now. He's just a, you know, hang dog figure. Like, oh, whatever.
Wah, wah, wah.
Debbie Downer, yeah.
Everybody doesn't like me. I think that should be A-Rod's voice for this season.
That'd be good.
Everybody thinks I'm doesn't like me anymore. The truth is, though, Cal, I love the Bobby V stuff because that rivalry needed it. You know, that rivalry needed that because they had gotten a little complacent with the idea that one of them's going to win the wild card and one's going to win the division. And then the last year, the Red Sox had that epic collapse and Tampa Bay captured the wild card on the last day of the season. So that put that to rest. And now this year, you know, Boston's a team with a lot to prove, and they needed this. The Yankees, I think, are definitely the best team in that division because of the addition of Michael Pineda. Another year for Robinson Cano. I mean, the Yankees are once again loaded. I think they're comfortable in their skin. I think they're going to be a much better team than they were last year. They've gotten rid of A.J. Burnett. They've added Michael Pineda to that rotation. CeCe Sabathia doesn't have the contract hanging over his head. I mean, we're going to get into the Yankees for sure. But they are Camp Pleasantry again, which is nice. Believe me, having experienced it from the other side of town. So this Red Sox thing, I think the Yankees need it. I do. I think the Yankees need some juice. I think things had gotten – we talked about it on the show. I think they had gotten false rivalry-ish, Cal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, good. They needed an injection into this rivalry of somebody, like, really being a jerk. Like, really stirring the straw and being like, we're totally going to throw at you. I can't wait. Like, I'm surprised Valentine's not like, we're totally going to throw at Jeter. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bard is totally throwing at Jeter. It's going to be great. You know, they needed this. This rivalry needed it. I think the Yankees need this. The Yankees are never going to have this juice with Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is a great team. You know, Tampa Bay's going to be a very good team, and they're not going to have that juice with Tampa Bay. They need it with the Red Sox.
I just go for the game. Yeah, I disagree with what you're saying about them being loaded. They're talented, and they probably have the most talented of any team in the division. But they are older. They're an old team, and they're a year older, and they just brought in a 39-year-old DH. You know, who by all accounts is apparently in great shape, Raul Baños,
and also a great clubhouse guy.
So I don't want to, you know, I'm not poo-pooing that move, but Teixeira is a year older, and A-Rod is a year older, and Jeter's a year older, and Rivera's a year older, and you know, so they're heading in the wrong direction, and I think that's something that it's going to be a tricky road for Girardi to manage, to get them playing time, and
that's fair, Cal, but they can still pitch. It's all that matters.
Well, you know, we'll talk about that as the season.
I mean, I'm not saying they're, you know, odds on favorite to win the World Series. I'm just saying there's no reason they shouldn't win 95 games again.
Well, you want to pencil Pineda in as that second starter. He had a very pedestrian second half last year.
Yeah, but he's 20. I mean, he's 20. Can he figure it out a little bit? And also, he was on a historically bad offensive team. Historically bad. I mean, it stinks.
Yeah, he still pitched almost a 5 ERA.
I know.
That's the offense.
We made that trade. I know what he is. We made the trade in fantasy. I know what he is.
I'm just trying to help myself deal with this.
But I'm saying there's something to the mental aspect, too, that if you give up two runs in the first inning, the game's over.
Yeah, that's true.
As with the Yankees, if you give up two runs in the first inning, you'll be up 5-2 by the end of the first.
Look, it was a great trade. It bordered on a steal, I think, to get an arm of that.
They still have Dylan Betances. They still have Wellos. They still have Phil Hughes. They still have, you know, guys like Freddy Garcia, who somehow gave them innings in last year.
Ivan Nova,
who, you know, won 19 games.
Yeah.
They have pitching, Cal. They still have pitching. They have Dave Robertson in the bullpen. They still have the great Mariano Rivera. You know, they still have too much pitching, Bri. They still have much. I'm still taking their pitching over Boston's.
You have to.
I'm not taking it over Tampa Bay's, but I'm taking it over Boston's. So,
yeah, you have to.
But, I mean, we'll get into it. But the Yankees, I think this is a good thing for the Yankees. I want to see them come out with a little more fire against the Red Sox. They had like a laissez-faire attitude against the Red Sox last year. Like they lost, what, the first 8 games against them?
Yeah.
8 or 9 games in a row, and they were still like, wow, we're both going to be in the playoffs. What's the difference?
Well, and now with the new wild card, that's going to change things too.
Good segue. What do you think? What do you feel? What do you know?
I like it. I like it.
As a Mets fan, we love it.
Well, as a baseball fan, right? you think back to that.
Be relevant in, you know, July.
Yeah, I know.
For that wild card.
But you think back to that last day of the season last year. And all the drama in those 3 games.
Right. Well, maybe you can get 5 games like that now.
You could. I personally would prefer to see a best 2 out of 3.
Yeah, I think a 1-game playoff is rough.
A 1-game playoff is really...
After
now,
62.
The team that previously had won the wild card, right? Your 4th team in the division, in the league, now has to play a 1-game playoff to advance. So I like putting much more importance back on the division winners. That was a huge thing for me.
So you know, like that aspect of it.
I love that. Win the division. Now you're really going to fight to win the division because you don't want to get stuck in a 1-game playoff.
That's right. Where anything can happen.
Right.
Anything goes. All bets are off.
And going to your point, that's why the Yankees and Red Sox got so complacent the last couple of years because they both knew they were going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it too, and I like it that it's in for this season. I have no problem with it. I do understand the purist aspect. You know, I do understand, you know, guys and girls that have been watching the game for a really long time that don't like that would like to go back to just the 3 playoff teams. Or even 2, you know, like have the 2 divisions or whatever. But It's a new age, you know, and there is such a there's no salary cap, and there is such a huge discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots that maybe the only way to get the Kansas City Royals a shot at the playoffs is to do this. You know, because of no salary cap, the difference between the big market teams and the small market teams, the wedge has never been greater. You know, so I think it's necessary for baseball. You know, you definitely have some sort of parity in baseball, Bri, because look at who's won the last few World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have the Giants who weren't supposed to win who won. You have the
Cardinals
who weren't supposed to win who won. You had the Diamondbacks in the playoffs last year. You know, you've had some surprise teams in the playoffs. I think you need more of that. I think you need the A's to be able to challenge for that second wild card, you know, because the discrepancy is too big. I love that they did it for this year.
I think it's great. And how could it be bad? Because you could potentially have half of the league, 15 teams, could be playing meaningful games with 2 weeks left in the season now.
Yeah.
You know?
And as Fred Wilpon once famously said, meaningful games in September. That's what it's all about.
That's right.
Not about winning pennants or winning World Series.
No.
It's about, gosh.
And I keep coming back to it, but.
Hey, listen, before we get to the fun load, because we do have an actual fun load.
We do.
Yeah. I have a retraction. I don't know if it's a retraction. I want to get your, I want to ask you honestly about the Braun thing. Because I came out very strongly last week that I felt like he had been in some way, shape, or form exonerated.
You did.
And you said very famously now, as it's gotten at least 90 downloads, you said very, very famously that in the Cal Court of Public Opinion, or the Court of Cal Opinion, he is still guilty.
Right.
He's proven nothing, got off on a technicality. And I think I want to come a little bit more to your side.
Let's see. Let's see how far you want to come. Because and you know, this is going to be all about you, because I feel even stronger today than I did last week.
Wow.
After hearing him for the last week.
Yeah, I think you know what swayed me over to you? It wasn't even him.
No.
And him sort of being like a douche.
I mean, that press conference was just bad idea genes, as you would say.
It's the player's reaction. Buster Olney wrote a great little column today on the Insider on ESPN.com about how the players 10 years ago would have been all about him being exonerated, and now today are like, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shame on him. It's a joke that he's able to get off on this technicality. And that's not a rift in the players' union or anything, but as Olney explains it, most players want the game clean because it threatens their livelihood if it's not.
Right.
Because people will stop going if it turns into wrestling.
And it threatens their legacy, too, if they were known as the players in the steroid era.
I think I'm in with you. I think I owe you an apology, Brian.
You don't owe me anything.
I'm sending you some flowers and a apology bouquet.
How about an edible arrangement?
No, no. I'm going full on 1-800-Flowers with the happy face mug. Oh,
nice.
It's a nice arrangement of flowers in a mug, smiley face mug that says, I'm sorry.
Does it come with a bear?
It does come with a bear that's in the mug, and the bear is holding a sign that says, I was wrong. I'm sending you that.
Again, another callback to what you said earlier. Methinks he doth protest too much, Ryan Braun. Why, you know what? If you got off on a technicality, that's great. You don't have to be suspended. Just go away now. That's it.
Don't come out with the
see. Do you see now? See, look, I'm innocent. I didn't take anything.
Yeah, you jerks.
Right.
You guys were all mean to me.
Yeah, I showed you.
Yeah. Not great. Not a great feeling about that. So anyway, I think in the court of Cal opinion, I am coming with a verdict of guilty. Guilty.
I don't know who it was, but somebody tweeted that the worst part about that press conference was his Mel Kiper hairdo.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't know who said that, but it was great.
Really bad. If there was ever a hairdo not to emulate, good old Mel Kiper Jr. But speaking of Mel Kiper, Cal, great podcast him and McShay do, by the way, for the NFL draft.
Oh, we're just about into full-blown draft season.
Oh, I'm like a junkie. I've been into full-blown draft season since the Jets finished the season at 8-8.
Yeah.
I know who I want already. I can't wait to do the draft episode with Hubie.
Will he be around?
He will.
Okay.
He's already chomping at the bit, Mike.
This is great. This is the time of year where we get to bring Hubie back on for March Madness and the
draft. Yep. Our resident expert, NCAA expert. I know who I want though. Hubie's gonna be a little insufferable because he's a Giant fan.
Yeah.
So he will let us hear that. But I think he knows who I want to draft, and he might approve. Hey, free agency starts for the NFL in a couple weeks. What do you make of this? What do you make of this Sanchez and this Chad Henne and the thing with the Jets?
I'm all for it.
I mean, you know, Mike Tenenbaum's been on every – I think he was on, like, the 500 Club the other day. Like, he's making appearances everywhere.
I think he's going to be at the Kids' Choice Awards on Nickelodeon also.
He might get slimed.
He might, you know.
For that season, he should.
Good fun. I think I've always believed in the fact that Sanchez probably could use some competition.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I think it's less about competition, Brian, more about having a viable backup.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, somebody that if he is crap in the bed, you don't feel terrible about maybe pulling him and putting the guy in and lighting a fire under his butt that way.
Right.
They haven't had that guy. We'll see. It's NFL free agency has become a lot more – it's not as good as baseball free agency, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good.
It's getting pretty good.
It was fun last summer, too, when everything happened in 2 days.
The draft is going to be crazy, too, Brian, because of the collective bargaining agreement in that guys can only make a certain amount.
Right.
You're going to see a lot more trades and stuff like that. It's a lot more. It's a lot less dangerous to trade into the top five now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot less of a gamble. So we already know that the Rams are going to trade that number two pick. It's just a matter of to who. But they should be able to get more of a windfall than the Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers one because the team that's trading into that spot is already slotted. They can only pay him a certain amount.
That's right.
So you're even taking less of a chance. Oh, it's going to be good. God, I love the draft.
It's
exciting. I love the draft. And then the Knicks will be in the playoffs. There's a lot of stuff coming up. A lot of stuff, I tell you.
Time for a fun load.
This is the portion of the podcast where Ryan and I talk about something fun, sports related. I don't know why I just turned to you.
Nope. Schmoozing.
BMW of Bayside.
What with the car and the Seinfeld even?
On the Seinfeld. So tonight in the fun load, here's what I want to talk about, Bri. You see my new hat, right?
I've been looking at it for the last hour and a half.
You see how I'm wearing it on my head, right?
You're wearing it backwards.
Right.
As disrespectful as possible per Buck Showalter.
Right. So I had a little conversation with my wife tonight before starting the show. I bought this hat today because I happened to be walking past the Mets clubhouse and just could not resist. Had to go in there and buy merchandise.
I'm telling you, it is a sharp hat.
It's a great
and
hat.
The only thing better than the hat are the new spring training jerseys.
Yes, and all the jerseys now without the black drop shadow.
No black anywhere.
Yes. So I put it on. I showed it to my wife, and I was like, what do you think? You know, because I had made this vow, and I told her about this no merchandise vow. And she was more skeptical than you. She was like, you're full of crap. There's no chance you don't buy something at least for Wes. And I said, look, Wes is at – we can buy anything we want for Wes. Wes doesn't count. Talking about me. My son does not count. Wesley does not count.
Well, he doesn't count in regards to buying
merchandise. Gee whiz. Cows have social services at my door. And like,
we don't need CPS filing a claim against us.
So I showed her the hat. It's nice. Nice hat. And I flipped it around. I put it on backwards. She's like, got to tell you, now I wear my hat backwards all the time. I have since I was a little kid. And my excuse has always been I'm a catcher. And I was. I've always been a catcher, so I can wear my hat backwards.
You don't always wear it backwards, though. Here's what I'll tell you. I've never seen someone equally distribute wearing it frontward and backwards as much as you.
I'd like to try to give it, you know. I think in a given night it will start forward. It will go backwards at some point, and it will go back forward.
Yeah, okay.
I usually end the night forward.
And throughout the course of any kind of sporting event that you're watching, it goes back and forth at least 20 times.
Yeah, that depends on what side is lucky at that point. So I put it on backwards, and she says, you know, I got to tell you, with the backwards, you should wear your hat forwards. And I said, okay. I said, why? She said, no, you know this. You've been married for way longer than I have. You know, there's certain times where you don't like, you know something's coming, and then you get something that you didn't expect. So she says, it makes you look, okay, now I know something's coming. Now you may expect, depending on your wife, you know, stupid, whatever, like dopey, whatever,
right.
Childish. So I had a number of expectations there. She goes, it makes you look mean. I was like, wow, I did not see that coming. What do you mean, like, mean? Like, it makes you look sort of – and so I knew what she was getting at, but she didn't want to come out and say it. So I pressed her on it. I said, no, come on, really, because I wasn't expecting you to say mean. I thought you were going to say, like, dopey or whatever. She never says dopey, by the way. I'm the only person who uses that word. Me and my dad, and he's 68. So she said, well – I was like, does it make me look like mean, like on the streets, or does it make me look like? She said, like, no, it makes you look like a jock, like a sort of jerky sort of jock.
So I don't think mean was the word she was talking about.
Exactly.
I think the word she was thinking of starts with a D.
That's correct. But it's prefaced with jock.
Right.
It makes you look like a jock douchebag.
Right.
But
wow.
I love the fact that, and I know what she's getting at, but I love the fact that she tried to use mean to get around it. But here's my question to you. There's a proper way to wear a baseball hat, okay? And I don't want this to come off as like we're 80 years old segment. But I only have one problem with the way a baseball hat is worn by one group of people, and that's Major League Baseball players. Like, I don't care how you know, the 15-year-old kid wears his hat with the labels on and the brim straight out, and I don't care. It really doesn't bother me. Because they're kids, or they're adults, whatever they are. They're trying to do something different. You know what I mean? They're doing something different. They're wearing it differently. That's the style. I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with a Major League Baseball player who wears his hat that way. Drives me crazy. Okay, so two questions here in the fun load. One, am I wrong? And two, can we talk to somebody about getting an accepted way to wear a baseball hat? Please.
You're not wrong, but if you ask someone 10 years younger than us, they'll tell you you're not right.
But the 10 years younger than us playing in the major leagues, though. In the major leagues. You're
10 years. The people that wear that hat, the way that you're talking about, are guys that are 10 years younger than us playing in the major leagues.
Actually, they're like 15 years younger than us playing in the
major leagues. Not all of that. Like, obviously, the one that jumps out is Jabba Chamberlain.
Yes.
Jumps out.
No reason for that.
Why?
Bend your hat.
CC Sabathia. It's a little bit bent. I could deal with the curvature of the brim. I cannot deal with the askewness.
So the askew bothers you more than the straight brim?
No. The straight brim bothers me much more. But I don't think CC Sabathia's brim is as straight as others.
As Jabba's.
Chad Cordero had a really awful one.
Jabba's is egregious.
George Sherrill. For whatever reason.
Why?
I mean, you're George Sherrill.
Has anybody told you you're George Sherrill?
It's tough.
I don't care for it.
Well, you know, it's part of the overall look. You know, it's the cap. It's the really baggy pants that they wear. It's the sloppiness of it.
I don't even have a huge problem with the baggy pants. I don't.
Nigel Morgan
is probably the most egregious violator of the hat sanctum.
Don't like the hat.
The sanctum, the sanctity of the baseball cap. Look, just bend your brim. You know, I'm not saying you got to look like a truck driver. Just bend your brim a little bit.
Now, the spring training caps come pre-bent.
That's right. Didn't even have to touch this one.
No, it's a perfect curvature.
Still got the old tagger on it. Didn't even have to touch it. But I hope that Majestic is making the game hats like this.
You know what I learned? It's not Majestic. It's New Era, right?
Or New Era makes the game hats. That's right.
It's New Era. But you know what they have? They actually have something called a low crown cap. And these are caps.
On?
I forgot where I saw this. I read this somewhere, and it was... For those of you that don't like to – some people like the spring training caps, the batting practice caps as they're called, because they fit really well. You know, they just come pre-fit for your head.
The thing fits like a glove.
But the actual caps that they wear, the game caps, sometimes are a little boxy.
They are.
And you sometimes can't – your head does not touch the top of it, and it just looks a little silly on you.
You look like you're driving the caboose. That's right.
And you try so hard to break it in. You stretch it, and you pull it, and you sit on it, and you drive
I used to take the cloth out.
Yep.
Actually take the cloth, the white stitching.
Yep.
You could actually take it out. I did that on many a hat.
Throw it in the dishwasher. That was another thing.
Throw it in the dishwasher. That's right.
But New Era makes a version of the game cap. It's called a low crown cap, and it fits more like the batting practice cap.
Is it a low crown cap, yo?
Yo, y'all.
Y'all.
What is it, yo? Is it yo or y'all?
I don't know. You're talking to somebody who is married into a family where y'all is actually like real.
Oh, that's true.
Like y'all is genuine.
The kids today, they use
y'all.
Or y'all. I never know what it is.
I have been told many times that y'all does not indicate that you have a dialect or an accent.
Is that so?
That's correct.
Huh.
Yeah. It's accepted. It's in the dictionary.
Okay.
I don't know which one.
Let's go back to the backwards and frontwards because...
Yes. Well, that's where I wanted to wrap up this fun load with the hats, backwards and forwards.
I don't...
I've said it 800 million times, frontwards.
Have you?
Yeah, put your hat on frontwards. That's probably not right.
Here's where I stand on that. If you are going out on a Saturday to run errands and you want to throw a cap on. Forward, always, when you reach a certain age.
Really?
Yeah. If you're working around the house, like I think, especially during the baseball season, I wear a baseball cap pretty much almost every minute I'm awake on the weekend if I'm not actually going somewhere. It's just right. I have to.
Just get up and throw it on.
You put the cap on. But like if I'm working around the house, I put the cap on backwards.
All right.
You know, but if I then have to make a quick trip, you know, maybe go to a Home Depot. Yeah, you know, I'm doing a little plumbing around the house. I need some copper tubing. Right? I'm going to turn the hat around. Face it forward. A little more formal. I'll go to Home Depot.
a little more, you know, business in front.
Right.
Party in the back.
Yeah, I won't wear the cap backwards if I'm out. Now, the exception obviously is if you are out at a ball game.
That's true.
You could wear the cap backwards.
Then anything goes.
Then anything goes. It's fine.
I like these rules.
Do they make sense?
They absolutely do. And I need to take a look at my cap behavior. Because I have many a time I'll run to the store, throw the cap on, and put it on backwards.
It's just cap awareness.
Just have some cap awareness.
That's all we're looking for.
We may need a cap guru.
If you're a 23-year-old kid and you're walking around with your keys on a shoelace around your neck, feel free to put the cap backwards wherever you go. It's fine.
Knock yourself out.
It's fine.
You can be at a wedding. It doesn't make a difference.
When you in a wedding.
Fine.
When you get to a certain age where if somebody's going to look at you and say, what the hell, this guy with the hat backwards, really?
Is this guy really doing this?
Hey, Grandpa, turn your hat around.
What's he like, 37? What's that guy doing with the backwards hat? Hey, guy, it's over.
Here, look, this is my final thing on this. I recently celebrated a birthday since our last show. So
yes,
I'm a little
that's
older.
Right. By the way, happy birthday. That's right.
Thank you.
Last Saturday was your birthday.
Last Saturday.
There goes my final unload.
I'm sorry. No, but what I did to celebrate my birthday was I took a list of all of the Major League Baseball players that are in spring training camps. I told you this.
Yeah.
Again, put it in Microsoft Excel, sorted it by date of birth. I mean, we're talking – I mean, all camp invitees. So this is – you're talking 50, 60 guys per team.
A team.
1,500, 1,600 guys. Sorted it by date of birth and found out that there are only 29 current major league players in spring training camps that are older than me.
Do you have that list handy?
I think I might actually.
I would love for you to just quickly read down that list.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. But
yeah, because you know, here's what we'll do. If you can find it, Cal, read down it, and because I want to know what the quality of these 29 guys is. Like in other words, I want you to say the guy, and I'll say like I don't want to do rated overrated, but you know
right.
You know what I mean, like viable, right. Not viable, hanging on, you know, something.
cap backwards or frontwards.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I mean, I give you a couple. Raul Ibanez is one.
No, I want the list. You got to go down the list.
Oh, you want the actual list, huh?
Get the list. You have to have it.
I do have it.
Come on, find that. I have music. How long could it take?
Not that long.
Here, you know what? Let's play this while you're looking for it, because in honor of our producer who's not here tonight.
Uh-huh.
PJ, you are seriously, man, in a league of one. You are the best. You get it done so efficiently, quickly, and such a high standard, my man. You are my hero. Jim Nance, CBS Sports, thank you.
Wow. Yeah, let's just play that. And you know what? While you're doing that, too, I'm going to tease a little something here for those of you still listening.
Ooh.
I'm going to tease a little something.
Okay.
We're going to have Bill Pito on the program.
Is that confirmed?
Well, we just have to set up the time. But yes.
Oh, great.
Speaking of famous people that maybe you'll do a tag for us,
right?
In the sports business. No, Bill Pito is going to come on the show. Hopefully, we're going to tape that in the next week or so. He can do the weekend too, Cal. So we'll tape a segment with Bill Pito. He's looking forward to coming on the show. Looking forward to talking about not just the locals as he does the pre and post game for the Knicks and the Rangers on MSG when they're on the road. And also, of course, worked at ESPN, did Baseball Tonight, the NFL.
Uh-huh.
But he also, we're going to talk a little bit about the social media aspect and how his job has changed.
It really, I mean, it's a huge deal these days.
Yeah. And what he thinks of blogging and what he thinks of social media and what he thinks of the different ways to follow your team nowadays. So we are going to have Pito on. All right. You got it yet?
I do. Hold on.
Nice. Come on.
I'm going to give you the pitchers first. I have it broken down by pitchers and batters.
Good. We need some. Let me get some music underneath here. Let me get some music underneath. Here we go.
It's actually, the number is smaller.
It's not 29.
Based on recent retirements.
Oh my gosh.
wait.
All right. This is the perfect music for this.
I turned 38 years old last Saturday. 38 years old.
38.
The following players in spring training camps are older than me. And this is what's left.
And I'll say, I'll give you the rating. I'll give this, hat forwards, hat backwards.
This is what's left.
Okay.
All right. If I had any thoughts.
Are we agreeing that hat forwards is good, hat frontwards is good, hat backwards is bad?
Yeah, because hat backwards would indicate, you should be young if you're wearing your hat backwards.
Okay.
So right. Hat forwards. Okay, ready? And now I'll give you the guys that were retired. Tim Wakefield. He's gone.
Hat backwards.
Okay.
I think hat backwards means working around the house. I think hat forwards means you can still play Major League Baseball.
That's what you should be doing is working around the house.
That's
point.
Right.
Takashi Saito.
Hat forwards.
In camp with Arizona, 42 years old.
Mm-hmm. Hat forwards.
Mariano Rivera.
Hat forwards. Two hats forward.
Like a Sherlock Holmes hat. Two brims. 42-year-old Arthur Rhodes.
He's a lefty reliever. His hat will always be forwards.
He's kicking around.
He'll be 56 years old and his hat will be forward.
41-year-old Darren Oliver.
Hat forward.
He's in camp with Toronto.
Like it.
The following players are 39. Ramon Ortiz.
Forwards.
Trevor Miller.
Backwards.
Derek Lowe.
Backwards.
Jason Isringhausen.
Backwards.
LaTroy Hawkins.
Backwards. The 39 group did not do well.
It did not. So those are your those are the pitchers. Now we go to the batters.
The inevitability of me actually drafting Derek Lowe too in our fantasy baseball league makes my hat backwards assessment even more painful.
Omar Vizquel at 45 years old.
Oh, Omar Vizquel.
A borderline Hall of Famer.
Backwards. Sorry, Omar.
Matt Stairs. 44 years old.
Backwards. Should be. He's Kenny from Eastbound and Down.
Kenny Powers.
He's Kenny Powers.
Jim Thome.
Sideways?
Jim Thome may actually wind up being the starting first baseman.
Yeah, because why is that, Cal? Tell us why. Because
Ryan Howard is not.
Yeah. Oh, had a setback, didn't he?
A little bit of a setback.
He's out indefinitely. But, let's pencil those Phillies in. They're not getting old at all.
Nope.
Sorry. Just had to get that out there. Jim Thome, hat sideways.
Jason Giambi.
Hat backwards. Selling steroids.
Here's a couple of recently retired players that made the list. So, again,
This is included in the 29.
Okay.
Jason Varitek.
Had backwards.
Craig Counsell.
Had always backwards. He was a catcher. And Craig Counsell. You feel like he should be had forward still.
I think so.
He'd be killing the Mets.
Mike Cameron.
Had backwards. It was time.
Jorge Posada.
Had backwards.
All these guys are retired. So yes. We're down to like 22 now.
Okay.
Ivan Rodriguez, Pudge.
He's not in camp yet, though.
He's not in camp, but he's not retired.
He's had forwards. He's still a usable player.
But he's a catcher.
He's still a usable player.
Okay. Henry Blanco.
Everybody loves Hank White.
He's 40.
Had forwards. Come on, he's Hank White.
He is Hank White. Jeff Bloom.
Had backwards.
Melvin Mora just retired.
Had backwards. Because Melvin Mora, I don't know whatever they're saying his age is, but he's 57 years old.
Raul Ibanez, as we said.
Had forwards. Still useful.
And last, certainly not least, our favorite 40-year-old Chipper Jones.
Ugh. You know what, though? I told you, I have a new thing with Chipper Jones. He almost doesn't even bother me anymore. I know, it's weird. He almost doesn't even bother me anymore.
That's because you have to be sure.
That's correct. I'm going to give Chipper a hat forwards. I like that. And a big lipper. See, there's a lot of guys that are still viable Major League players.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Out of the 1,500, there's like 19.
Listen, buddy, you're on this list too. There's only like 3 or 4 more
before May
that are not going to make it to May.
That's all the time we have. I'm ready to unload for episode 3.08. We will have Pop Culture PJ back next week, but this was enjoyable. Cal, I've enjoyed this. Give us your final unload.
My final unload is I look forward to Pop Culture PJ coming back next week, but, you know, stay out of it a little bit. Let us do our thing, because this was fun.
And my, boy, he's going to have some words for you.
That's all right.
My final unload goes out to Fred Wilpon. Hey, Fred, next time you want to hold an impromptu press conference at training camp, try to go easy on the money jokes. Anything involving money. Not funny.
It's too soon.
Yeah, too soon. And also, if you are curious whether or not Met fans care whether you own the team or not, we do. A lot. I mean, no, seriously. Like, a really lot. We really care. I mean, it's gotten awkward. You know, if caring about you owning the team was a Twitter address, we'd be blocked. Without a doubt. Because it'd be stalking. Okay, that's all the time we have. Join us next week for Ready to Unload with Cal and St. Pete. All new episode. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk football free agency. We'll talk the NCAA madness. March madness. And that's it. Say goodnight, Cal.
Goodnight, Cal.